Acts chapter number 11 tonight, and I want to talk and preach of the Lord as the Lord helps me tonight on the importance of the church and world evangelism. If you study your Bible at all, you find out that the local church is central to what God does in the New Testament, and it sets a pattern for what God is doing in our world today. And you open up your Bible and you find that Jesus started the church. The book of Acts gives us history of the work that God did through the local church. And really the rest of the New Testament is letters written to local churches. And so the local church is absolutely essential if we're going to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know the history, and I'll just bring you up to speed a little bit to where we're at in the book of Acts. But the church at Jerusalem was a growing church. God was doing a great work there. Thousands were getting saved, and many people were being added to the church. And in many ways, they were the model church for churches today regarding the emphasis on doctrine and preaching, the church ordinances, evangelism, discipleship, leadership, their love and care for others, and many other things. But there was one thing that we see that the church at Jerusalem was a bit reluctant to do, and really in a sense they kind of lacked for a while, and that was that they were not actively carrying the gospel to other places around the world. They were reaching their city and doing a great job, but they had failed to take that next step and carry it. As we know, the Great Commission commands us to Judea and to Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, eventually, the church did scatter abroad throughout Judea and Samaria, but it took persecution, didn't it, to make this happen. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it tells us that Saul consented to Stephen's death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church that was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad. So God allowed persecution to come to the church. And it looked like a bad thing. It looked like a terrible thing. They lost Stephen, a great deacon. It caused Saul, he was going in, he was making havoc of the church. He was going into every house and hailing, which means dragging by force men and women out and putting them into prison. But God used it for good, because then the Bible tells us in Acts 8, verse 4, that they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And that's kind of where we pick it up here. If you look in Acts chapter 11, verse 19, it says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which is in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the church. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." Let's have a word of prayer if we can. Father in heaven, we just pray that you would bless our time and your word. We know, Lord, that all is vain unless you work, that it's not by our power, It's not by our strength, but it's by your power and strength. And God, I pray to help me tonight. I pray you would take the message of the Scripture and you would drive it home to our hearts, and that we would realize tonight that what we are doing here, what is going on in this church, is more important than anything else in the world. And that what happens here and what happens through this church is what you're most concerned about. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless this church as they put you first and the work of getting the gospel out. And I pray to help all of us, Lord, to do our parts to reach the world and our generation. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice, first of all, tonight, that Lord did a great work in the church at Antioch. This is really quite an amazing story. It's almost like an accidental church plant. Because the Bible tells us that there were people, there were Christians in Jerusalem, Jews, that when the persecution came, everybody kind of ran for their lives. If they didn't, they were going to be put in prison or killed. And so some of them went as far as Phoenicia in the northwest of Israel, to Cyprus, an island in the Mediterranean, and then some came to Antioch. And Antioch was a town in Syria, north of Israel. It was the third largest city in the Roman Empire at that time. It had 500,000 people. It was located on a river about 15 miles inland from the Mediterranean Sea, and it was a very busy, cosmopolitan city, a center of trade, a center of religion, and a place with high levels of intellectual and political life. It was a real hub in those days. And some of these Jews that were running, Jewish Christians, went up there. And when they got there, the Bible tells us in verse 20 that they preached the word to none but unto the Jews only. So there was a large concentration of Jews in Antioch, and so when they got there, they began to share their faith. And you know, really that ought to be our testimony, that no matter where we go, no matter where God sends us, we're going to talk about Jesus. And you know what? When Jesus has changed your life, you really can't help it, can you? We all have maybe different ways and different personalities, but if you've met Jesus, you're going to talk about Him. If you love your wife and your children, at some point, they're going to come up in conversation, or they should. And if we love Jesus, He ought to be coming up in our conversation. But it's interesting that it says they preach the word to none but unto the Jews only. Now, why were they doing that? Well, that's kind of what they had really been doing in Jerusalem. They had been told to go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost, but really they kind of just thought it was for Jews. But notice what happens in verse 20. It says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. So these guys from Cyprus and Cyrene didn't get the memo that the gospel was just for Jews. And it says, when they were come to Antioch, they began to speak unto the Grecians. The Grecians were Greek-speaking Jews. So they were Jews, but their language they spoke was Greek. And so they were very amalgamated into Greek culture more so than really the Jewish culture. And so they kind of slipped up and told these Greek-speaking Jews, and it says they preached the Lord Jesus to them. And when they did that, something amazing happened. Verse 21, it says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. They could not really contain what was happening. And as the gospel, and I say it facetiously, but accidentally slipped out to these Grecians, it began to change lives, and God began to do a great work. And you know, the exciting thing about the gospel is it is the power of God and salvation. And sometimes we feel intimidated. We feel like we need to somehow improve upon what we're doing in our message. But I want to tell you tonight that if we will simply declare the gospel, it will change lives. And here they weren't even really intentionally trying to, but some people got a hold of it and the Lord did a great work. And many people began to get saved. Verse 22, so many people were getting saved that the church at Jerusalem hears about it. News gets back many miles to the south to the church of Jerusalem. And everybody's coming back and saying, I'm telling you, something big is happening up in Antioch. And person after person tells them. So finally they said, man, we need to go check it out. What is happening up there? And so they send Barnabas. It's interesting that Barnabas was a Cypriot. He was actually from Cyprus, which was one of the places where it says that the gospel went to. Maybe they thought that connection would help. I don't know. But he was a good man, the Bible tells us. And he goes up there to Antioch, verse 23. And when he gets there and he sees the grace of God at work, he was glad. He was excited. He could not believe what the Lord was doing. He could not believe how the Holy Spirit of God was changing lives. And man, he was just rejoicing. And he was excited about it. And the Bible says he exhorted them, he encouraged them that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. He didn't want it just to be a newfound zeal, but it would fizzle out. He said, hey, I want to encourage you to hang on and cleave to the Lord and have a purpose of heart here. The Bible says he was a good man. He was full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people were added to the Lord. God's doing something amazing here. And then it's so big that Barnabas has to get help. Look at verse number 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. So he says, I got to have some help. And he has heard about Saul. We know Saul had gone to Jerusalem at the start after he got saved, and he wasn't necessarily received super well. And so he goes to find Saul, and he says, Saul, man, you got to come help me. And he recruits some help. And isn't it exciting when God's doing stuff with that, that we got to recruit some help? And so Saul comes, and it says that for a whole year, they assembled themselves with the church, and they taught much people. And the Bible says the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. There's been a lot of great churches down through the years, a lot of great churches in the Bible. And certainly one of the greatest was the church at Antioch. That was a place where the disciples were called Christians first. What an incredible thing that even their enemies would say, those people, they act like Christ. They remind us of Christ. That was said about the church in Antioch. And so God was doing a great work. Look at the end of this chapter and notice what happened. It says, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one named Agabus. And he told him, he said, hey, there's going to be this dearth, this famine throughout the whole world. And it did come to pass. And look what the people there at Antioch did. And God was just moving. People were getting saved. And they were recruiting help. And they were being called to Christians here. And then, verse 29, the disciples said, you know what, we need to do something. Because we have been blessed with spiritual things from Jerusalem. Let's do what we can. Hey, let's take up an offering. And all of us will just do what we can, and we'll send some relief to the brothers that are down in Jerusalem. What an amazing thing that God was working, and God was saving, and God was changing lives, and now there's this spirit of generosity, this spirit of we want to give back, we want to bless others. God was doing a great work in the church that was at Antioch. And you know, if we're going to reach the world with the gospel, there has to be churches where God is doing a great work. There has to be strong lighthouses. The name of church is Lighthouse. But there has to be strong lighthouses that can shine the gospel around the world. One of the challenges that I'm sure you face here, I know we faced it on the mission field, was people, they want heaven, they want salvation. They want good teaching, but they struggle to commit to a local church. They think that in some way that if everybody just kind of comes along but never really commits, that it's going to be all right. We would even have people that would come to our church and they would kind of look around and be thinking, well, there aren't many people that are really on board, so we're not going to get on board. And I would think, if you would get on board, then we'd have some people on board, and maybe others would get on board. And so we've got to recognize that if we're going to reach the world with the gospel, and we're going to look at the next phase of ministry, this church, God has to do great work in our lives and in our church, and it's got to be happening here. We can't send it around the world if we don't have it here. Let's look now at Acts chapter 13, and I want you to see that not only did the Lord do a great work in the church at Antioch, but God did a great work through the church at Antioch. God had blessed them, hadn't He? He had poured out His blessings. He had given them the gospel. He had given them teaching. He had given them generous, committed Christians. But those blessings were not to be hoarded. They were to be shared. Look at Acts chapter 12, if you will actually start a reading now in verse 25. And just to kind of bring you up to speed on what happened in chapter 12 was while God was blessing in Antioch, things were getting both worse and better at Jerusalem. And what I mean by that is they were getting worse in the sense that Herod has stretched forth his hand to persecute the church in Jerusalem. They got Saul, now they got Herod. We know Herod takes James, the brother of John. He kills him with the sword. We know that he also took Peter and probably intended to do the same thing. He takes and puts him in prison. Of course, you know the Lord delivers Peter. But things are getting worse, but they're also getting better. Look at Acts 12, 24. While all this persecution is going on, it says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. I don't understand how God works, but I know that God often works in ways we can't understand. God often works through trials and problems. And sometimes we think, well, if we didn't have all this opposition, we could really do something. But many times it's through the opposition that we can be a testimony for the Lord. And the word grew and multiplied in spite of these challenges. So look now at verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem. Remember, they went down there to take the offering. And it says, and when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. It was actually Barnabas' cousin. Goes back with them to Antioch. And it says in chapter 13, verse 1, now there were at the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So the church here has continued to grow. First, there was just Barnabas. Then there was Barnabas and Saul. Now there are five prophets and teachers or preachers, because as the disciples grew, there was a need for more help, for more teaching, for more preaching. And so now they've got five guys here, Barnabas, Saul, Simeon, Lucius, and Manaen. And now these men are all involved in helping as the church is growing. And then look what happens in verse 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. From thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to the minister. So now, what has happened at Antioch is about to spread. Really, in a way that the church of Jerusalem, indirectly through what happened in Antioch, but really in a way that never happened through the church of Jerusalem, they are about to become the hub for world evangelism. And as God does such a great work in them, He then begins to work through them. And the Holy Ghost says, I want you to separate Barnabas and Saul for this work, the work of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so they fast and pray, they lay their hands on them, they send them away, and they go out and they begin to preach. And great things happen. They on this first missionary tour, they'll see churches started in Cyprus. They'll preach the gospel in Perga. There'll be churches in Antioch, in Pisidia, in Iconium, in Lystra, and in Derbe. And then they come back. Take your Bibles and go to Acts 14, if you will. Acts chapter 14, look at verse 21. It says, when they had preached the gospel of that city and had taught many, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and Antioch. This is a different Antioch from the one they left. Confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they believed. Verse 24, and after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. When they had preached the word in Perga, they went down in Attalia and then sailed to Antioch. And look at this. From whence they have been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. Here now, the church at Antioch, God says, I want you to send Barnabas and Saul. And really, I mean, I think you're probably pretty used to the idea of sending out missionaries, but this is pretty new. And all they know is they've been really seeking God, and the Holy Spirit says, I want these guys to go. And so they say, we got to obey the Lord, let's send them out. And they go. And they lived in a day and time where communication was a lot more limited. You know, it's really sad. A lot of people will use fear of going overseas, fear of travel or living across the world as a reason not to go. But we have it so easy compared to the way they did. You can communicate. You can be somewhere, and really in less than 2 days, you can be anywhere in the world practically. But they didn't really know. I don't know how much news got back, and then one day they show up. And can you imagine what was going on in their heart and in the heart of the people as they began to talk about it and began to describe and begin to talk about how they'd gone to these places and they had preached the gospel and people were getting saved. And churches were getting started, and men were being called to preach, and the church at Antioch began to think, this is incredible what God is doing through us now. God did a great work in us, but now He's doing a great work through us. Now, Antioch, yes, it probably was never as big as the church at Jerusalem. The church at Jerusalem had thousands and thousands and thousands of people. But they were, if you took all their daughter churches and converts around the world, they probably would have blown them out of the water now because they're being spread across the globe. And God was working through them. And notice verse 27, it says, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He'd opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. People that they could not fathom would be able to even understand the gospel are getting saved. And sometimes when we talk about places around the world, we think, oh, I don't think Irish people, I mean, it's a hard place. Or people, you name the country, Muslim people. But everywhere the gospel was preached, some places they had very little response, some places they had more response, but God's always going to be working and saving lives. There was times people would ask, well, how many did you have in service? And if I counted the number, it wasn't very impressive. But if I focused on the lives that God was working and the lives that God was changing, He was always changing somebody. He was always working somebody's life. And they tell Him what God's done. And it says, verse 20, and there they abode long time with the disciples, just enjoying and praising God for what He'd done. And that really isn't the end. We'll stop there, really following the journey, the church closely. But we do know that that was just one of many missionary journeys from that church. Paul and Barnabas the next time couldn't really agree on John Mark, so they went separate ways. And then the Bible says they came back. And they went out and they came back. And we don't really know much after the third journey, but I think that was just three or four accounts of many, many journeys for missionaries going out of the church. So God worked in the church, and then God worked through the church. So how does this apply to us? And let me just give you a few applications. We'll be done. First of all, I think we can see that the local church is the key to the gospel getting to the nations. Without the church at Jerusalem, there would have been no church at Antioch. Without the church at Antioch, there would have been no churches at Galatia, or Macedonia, or Ephesus, or Corinth. And we could go on and list all the churches in the Bible. But you know, without those churches, there would have been no churches in Europe. There would have been no churches in America. And without a church like this, there wouldn't be churches in many places around the world, I'm sure. See, it's the local church that God's using. It was never a question of whether God was going to use a local church to get the gospel to the nations. It was just a question of how He would get the church to the nations. God doesn't have a plan B. Sometimes they think, well, that's a missionary's job. That's a pastor's job. That's a missionary's job. No, it was given to the local church. And it's never been a question of whether God would use a local church. It was just how. Whether it be willingly like Antioch or kind of a bit resistantly like Jerusalem. They really weren't that excited about leaving. God said, all right, I've got to send a bit of persecution. And then they left and told everybody what Jesus had done for them. But God is going to use a local church. And it's just a question of which church He would use to get the gospel to the nations. You know, it's kind of sad because really after Acts 15, the focus really comes off of Jerusalem and it shifts to Antioch. And you know, God's going to use churches to get the gospel to nations. I wouldn't want to miss that opportunity. I wouldn't want to miss the opportunity to be involved in what the Lord is doing. My question for you tonight is, do you realize that the local church is the key to the evangelization of the world? That your commitment to this local assembly and what happens here and making sure this is a strong place, that the Word of God is preached and souls are being saved and lives are being changed, that commitment is essential because it is churches like this that God wants to use to get the gospel to the world. And will you make the most of your opportunity to be involved in a church with a heart for the world? See, the church is willing. I believe your church is willing, but are you a willing part of that church? Are you a bit reluctant to say, well, I'm sure other people will cover it. I'm sure other people will be willing to pray for the missionaries, be willing to get involved in those programs and Vacation Bible School, and other people will do that. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get involved. God passed up the church at Jerusalem. Don't think that he'll give the opportunity to someone else. It's a privilege. It's an honor to be involved. Secondly, second application is that in order for God to do great work through a local church, He must first do great work in a local church. Has God done a great work in your life? Have you let the grace of God save you and change you and fill you? The strength of the church is only the strength of the individual people, the members, the links in that chain. And how's God working in your life? You might think, well, it's not a big deal. I don't read my Bible. I don't go out soul winning. But if you drop the ball, what's going to happen to the rest of the world? I was just in the month of May, I spent a few days visiting our church in Northern Ireland and a few days surveying London for our next step in the ministry. And it was shocking to me all the Baptist church buildings we found in London. But there are very, very few anymore that preach the gospel. Many of them have a social gospel. They just think, love the earth, take care of the environment, be a good person. Many of them are closed. Many of them have been converted into apartments, restaurants, mosques. Somebody didn't let God's grace keep working in their life. And somebody didn't reach the next generation. And now we're having to send people back. There are churches that are hanging on, have a few members. They can't pay a pastor. And they're going to close their doors unless someone goes. It only takes one generation. Have you let the grace of God work in your life? Are you cleaving to the Lord with purpose of heart? Are you willing to be a teacher like Paul and get involved and help out? Are you willing to be a giver through the local church to help the gospel get to other places? And then the third application is the grace of God at work in a local church is meant to spread to the ends of the earth. It's meant to spread. Don't hoard it, but let God use you. Will you let the Lord speak to you about what He wants you to do to get the gospel around the world? Does the Holy Spirit want you to go, like Barnabas and Saul? Does the Holy Spirit want you to send? But will you let the grace of God work in your life so He can work through your life? Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Father in heaven, we are so thankful that we are privileged to be involved in Your work. Lord, we are thankful that You're obviously at work in this church. God, I pray that You would raise up more people who would get involved. More people who would let the grace of God work in their life and then let the grace of God work through their life. And Lord, it's exciting to think about all the Christians there are around the world and all the churches that have been started through churches like this one. But Lord, I pray that because of the decisions that are made tonight, many more lives would be changed, many more churches would be started, and much more glory would be given to your great name through what happens in this church. And we ask these things in Jesus' name.